This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Christians celebrated Ascension Day last Thursday, and so I've chosen the Ascension as my theme today, because if I hadn't, there would be a huge piece of jigsaw missing in the story of Easter that I've told up till now. Ascension Day traditionally brings an end to the Easter season and marks the point at which Jesus returned to the Father 40 days after his resurrection, having completed the work he'd been sent to do. So let's begin our programme today with a really grand hymn this morning. How about a traditional favourite, a hymn of praise called All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Many paintings of Jesus' ascension picture him gloriously rising upon clouds into the sky surrounded by angels. And a recent film about the resurrection of Jesus called Risen shows Jesus walking into the glare of the sun at his ascension and disappearing into its light as the sun itself ascends into the sky. But how does Luke describe this event in our reading today? Let's listen this morning to his account of the ascension of Jesus from two sources. First, in chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. In the sequel to Luke's Gospel account, Acts of the Apostles, he tells us more about this event. Here he writes, "Then they gathered around him and asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.' Luke was a historian of some note and a doctor. He took pains to write very detailed accounts. He recorded all that those first witnesses had to say. Here's Brent Miller singing, "Tell Out My Soul."
Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice tender to me. The promise of His word in God my Savior shall my heart rejoice.
Letters of Clement and Ignatius, two early church fathers, which were sent around the churches as early as 100 AD, whole verses from the Gospels and Epistles can be found, indicating that the entire New Testament was written within the first century AD, and not as some have been led to believe a couple of hundred years later. So many eyewitnesses could have easily refuted the information that Luke and the other Gospel writers were sending out, and no one did. And St. Paul, who once persecuted Christians, also wrote of those who were witnesses to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, many of whom were still alive at the time of his writing. Here's another traditional hymn that follows on nicely from Luke's accounts, a hymn that ends declaring that Jesus is risen, ascended, and glorified. It comes from Peterborough Cathedral, and it's "Lord Enthroned in Heavenly Splendor."
Jesus.
Some may wonder why Jesus didn't just go straight back to the Father after his resurrection. Why did he wait 40 days? Perhaps Jesus wanted to show his followers that he was very much alive first. Luke explains that in this time after his death, he appeared to them many times, which proves beyond doubt that he was alive and not some ghost or hallucination. They could now see that Jesus had kept the promises he'd made to them. He'd prophesied that he would be raised from the dead, and yes, here he was standing before them all. Many things he'd taught them, which they'd once found quite confusing, but now they understood. Here's a song called From the Breaking of the Dawn, which invites us to stand on every promise of God. It was written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend.
From the breaking of the dawn to the setting of the sun, I will stand on every promise of your word. Words of power strong to say that will never pass away. I will stand on every promise of your word. For your covenant is sure, and on this I am secure. I can stand on every promise of your word. Condemnation pressing in, I will stand on every promise of your word. You are faithful to forgive, that in freedom I might live. So I stand on every promise of your word. To innocence restore, you remember sins no more. So I stand on every promise of your word. When I'm faced with anguish, joy,
Jesus also had much still to teach his disciples. I mentioned last week that there were moments in those 40 days that Jesus was with his disciples after his resurrection, when he taught them that many ancient scriptures referred to him. He also needed to make sure that his disciples didn't leave Jerusalem. Like chicks in the nest need to wait in their nest until they have strength and know how to fly, so Jesus was telling his disciples to wait and pray and prepare themselves for the arrival of the Holy Spirit, who would soon come upon them in great power. Only then would they be fully equipped to be his witnesses. He said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The good news about Jesus actually did begin in Jerusalem, and it spread out from there to Judea and then Samaria. And when the church began to be persecuted, the disciples, along with their message, spread out into the world. So it all came to be, just as Jesus told them. I wonder if we're sometimes trying to achieve things for God in our own strength. And do we spend enough time waiting upon God and praying for the Holy Spirit to fill us with power and direct us? Here's a song by Brenton Brown and sung by Chris Tomlin called Everlasting God.
Strength for us when we upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord. Strength for us when we wait, upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord.
There's no legend told by R.H. Lloyd which describes the re-entry of Jesus into heaven after his ascension from the Mount of Olives. The first person he met was the angel Gabriel, who asked, "Have you completed what you set out to do, Lord?" "Yes, I think so," said Jesus. "I left 11 men to start things moving."
11 men?" the archangel gasped. "Is that all?"
"That is all," Jesus replied quietly.
"And were these 11 men of great importance and scholarship?" continued the angel.
"No," said Jesus, smiling. "As a matter of fact, they were very ordinary, workaday men."
"But what if they shall fail?" said Gabriel.
"Then the whole venture will all have been in vain. All that suffering on the cross will be wasted."
The reply Jesus gave was firm and confident. "I have made no other plans."
Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good.
Was a song called "Christ Has No Body," sung there by John Michael Talbot. Now, how Jesus was taken up to heaven we'll never know. Some things must remain a mystery, for they can't be fully explained this side of heaven. But let's remind ourselves of what we've just heard in Acts of the Apostles. Not only did Jesus go away, but the angels told the disciples that he would also come back again. It says the disciples were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So we have it on good authority that one day Jesus will return in the same way the disciples saw him go. Could it happen in our day and age? And what if it happened today? Would we be ready to meet with him? And what might we want to put right first? It was said that the dates and times that the Father had set for Jesus' return weren't for us to know. So in the meantime, what should we do while we wait? Well, we could begin by doing what the disciples were told to do, to wait and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us, and to keep on being filled with power to be Christ's servants and witnesses. "Have courage and wait," says our next song by Northumbria Community.
Have courage and wait, have courage and wait. Wait for the Lord, have courage and wait. Have courage and wait, have courage and wait. Wait for the Lord, have courage and wait. Confess every sin, confess every sin. All of our sins, confess them to Him. Confess every sin, confess every sin. All of our sins, confess them to Him. Encircle us, Lord, encircle us, Lord. Circle us, Lord, and shield us from harm. Encircle us, Lord, encircle us, Lord. Circle us, Lord, and shield us from harm. Lord, lighten our way, Lord, lighten our way. Carry our load, Lord, lighten our way. Lord, lighten our way, Lord, lighten our way. Carry our load, Lord, lighten our way. Lighten our way. Oh, keep me true, Lord, only to you.
The disciples didn't leave this scene broken-hearted. They went on their way filled with new hope and promise. This was not the end. It was just the beginning. They travelled back to Jerusalem, to where they'd previously been in hiding, to wait for that which had been promised them. They didn't have long to wait, for with the Holy Spirit came an explosion of power, and it took the known world then by storm. We'll be finding out about this in next week's programme. But to end our programme today, I'll leave you with this question. Who was this Jesus? Who do you say he was? He died and was raised from the dead. He ascended into glory in heaven. And he, having returned to heaven, began to put the wheels in motion for all his followers to be able to receive the Spirit of God into their lives in order to live out his life on earth. Here was no mere mortal man. Our final song reveals he was indeed Christ the King, born of Mary, human, yes, but he was also born of God. Here is that song to finish our programme. I've only just recently heard it myself, but once heard, believe me, never forgotten. It's sung by a young married couple who named themselves the Hound and the Fox. Here they are with the beautiful hymn, What Child Is This? I hope you enjoy it too, and I pray that Christ will dwell richly in your lives to bless you and keep you always in his love and care. Bye for now, until next week.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping?
Helpless and hungry, lowly, afraid, wrapped in the chill of midwinter, comes now among us, born into poverty's embrace, new life for the world. Who is this who lives with the lonely, sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger? This This is Christ revealed to the world in the eyes of a child of the poor.
What child
is the stranger here in our midst, looking for shelter among us?
Who is this outcast whom
we see amidst the
poor,
the children of God? Who is this? Sharing their sorrows, knowing their hunger. This is Christ.